All right, welcome everybody to a new series, a three-part series that we've entitled With Honor. And before we get started, I just want to give some shout-outs to some people. We had the launch of our small groups last week, and from what I understand, there is some great startups on some small groups, great success this week. Actually, the men's group that's meeting at Chick-fil-A on Wednesday nights at 7, great start. I wish I had pictures of that to show you, but we had some, I'm sure Steve's probably already put it out there somewhere, but just a great response, and we're actually having to carpool and bring a bunch of guys in there, and it's just awesome time that we've already on start to, and just really excited about that. Also, oh, there it is. Hey, thank you. There it is. Thank you. Yeah, isn't that a good-looking group of guys, right? Hey, come on. Isn't that great? Any more surprises? Do I have any other groups? Do I have any other groups of pictures of other groups? Okay, all right. I just want to make sure. Well, anyway, there's a group meeting here on Saturdays that's doing a scrapbook. You want to know what that means? Ask Paulette. And we have a prayer group that started this morning. What a powerful time of prayer this morning. The room was packed this morning with people praying from 9 to 9:30. And, man, if you want to start your day off right, especially on the Lord's Day, come early and pray with us. Just a tremendous time. And, in fact, you should see our dream team huddle in the mornings. That's looking phenomenal. Just really excited about that as well. But also want to give a special shout-out to our landscaping small group. And, by the way, I don't know if you noticed when you came in, did you see we put a dent in some of that mulch that's now been moved around, and I appreciate all the work that these guys continue to do from week to week. If you want to be a part of that, we got in our huddle this morning, Bob was saying, we need some help. So he was actually calling all hands on deck on that. And it would be great if anybody wants to help with that, because actually next Sunday is going to be, as you heard, our community picnic, and so anything that we can do to help diminish that pile of mulch over there would be greatly appreciated this week. And then that small group, again, it's going to meet next Saturday at 9 again next Saturday. So I'd love for you to be a part of that and help us with that. And be sure and come and be a part of this picnic. By the way, there's nothing to bring. If you want to bring some extra sides, that's fine. The community is bringing everything goes with that meal for the community. So we just want you to be here to kind of be helping us with the stages that we've got, the different areas that we're going to have where things are going to be staged. We're going to be cooking hot dogs and hamburgers, and we're going to be tents out on the lawn. We're going to have some cornhole. We're going to have some fun. Everybody say fun. It's okay to say that in church. All right. So be sure and mark that down. That's next Sunday. It's going to be a great time. Again, I want to reiterate, just a little disclaimer there. This is not our event. It's really the community event. And we made up these postcards that said community picnic. And it's cool, y'all, because on these community cards about the picnic, it has our church logo on there and a picture of our church on it. And we got to go door to door and hand these invites out, and I said, I'm on the board of the community. I'm here representing College Downs Community, but I'm also the pastor of Crosspoint Church, and we're actually hosting this. I'm here not representing the church. I'm representing the community, but I'm actually the pastor of the church. And by the way, if you want to come early, come to church with us, feel free. So I kind of double dipped there, but anyway, really want to make sure that you understand it's their event, not ours. So we're not here trying to say this is our event, but we're part of this community too. So I want to encourage you to come and just build some relationships. You know, you don't have to go crazy saying, hey, come to our church. I think they get that, okay? Just be real, be loving, be welcoming, and say anything we can do to serve you. And I think it's going to be a great day. That's next Sunday. So be sure and come be a part of that. Let's get into our message very quickly here. Again, this is a three-part series, and this series is on honor. And it's a three-part, so it's actually going to conclude in a couple of weeks on Father's Day. And I think that's kind of timely that we're doing this on a day that we're to honor our Father. I want you to just look very quickly with me in your message notes and up here on the screen as well, if you like, from Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. It says, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. And God is asking us, this is a prophetic book, and God's speaking to a generation, and he's saying, where is the honor? Where is the respect? And he says, if I am a father, where is the honor due? Me. If I am a master, Where is the respect due me, says the Lord Almighty? He says, it is you, O priest. And by the way, in the Old Testament, a priest was a small group of ministers. But let's fast forward into the New Covenant, New Testament, our day. And that is, in the New Covenant, it says that there is now the priesthood of all believers. So we all have, it's a kingdom of priests. So we are, this includes all of us. So really this message comes to all of us. So he's saying, you Christians, all of you, old priests, he says, who show contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? And so that word contempt there, it really, you know, you hear about people being in contempt of court. And that word contempt, it really means to reduce it down, to make it lower, to really irreverence something. And so then the question is, so how have we shown contempt to your name? And so this is what we're going to talk about for the next couple of weeks. And that is how we have done this, and how we can correct this, and how we can bring honor as the Bible instructs us to. In fact, this is what I do believe. I believe that God is honestly speaking to a generation of people, but I believe, honestly, we have a generation today that is very, very disrespectful as opposed to some years back. So I'm just going to get real and real honest. And I think we've lost something. In fact, some of the younger generation, I think, is at times affected the older generation instead of the other way around. In fact, I think really it's the older generation, and let me just be specific and go right into the home. It's the parents that should be setting the tone for the home. Now, I don't like that any better than you do, okay? Because I look around and I realize it's not my kids, it's me, okay? Because the parents do have the responsibility to set the tone in the home. But we live in a generation, a time when actually it's popular and it's cool to criticize. There's a fine line between being a critic, of something and criticizing. You know what I'm saying? And so it's become almost cool to speak out against something, to tweet about it, to blog about it, to put it on Facebook, to go everywhere with it, to tell all your business on Facebook. And I don't know if you noticed, I don't get on there, okay? I'm not against Facebook, but I'm just saying, even if I were on Facebook, somebody help me figure out my password, I'll get back on Facebook. But I'm just saying, even if I were on there, don't get drawn into all this bickering, this back and forth, this junk. And I think we brought things oftentimes at an equal level that should not always be on equal levels. Now, equality is really how God views all of us, but there's times where things should be elevated above other things. In fact, there's six things that deserve honor. We're going to talk about that next week. Today's going to be a little more challenging. We're going to step on some toes. I've already told somebody I'm going to be stepping on my own toes today, so don't feel bad. And this is what we want. We want to be challenged. We want to be, bring it where it's real, where we live. Next week, we're going to show these areas. And then the last week, we're going to have some more fun with it, really show how we do this. And honestly, I think when we talk about honor, some of us really just, forgive me for being a little old-fashioned, but I think we need to go back to some old school. In fact, I think we need to go back to respecting and honoring ladies, guys. I heard some amens from the men. Can I get an amen from the women, all right? I mean, I think we should be opening the door for the ladies, you know. And I've heard people say, well, no, they don't want that anymore. Well, I beg to differ. I have a suspicion it may be because somebody has abandoned their place of where they should be, and the women has had to step into that by default. But I'm telling you, we need to be honoring women, and I do that from time to time. I'll find the opportunity to open a door for somebody, and the look on sometimes the lady's face is like, you know, sometimes I don't need anybody to do that for me, and I'm thinking, yeah, but you're inside, you're going, yeah, right, yeah. I mean, we need to be opening the door for somebody and to the point where they look at you and say, what is going on? And at times I've responded and said, hey, chivalry is not dead. You know, there's a few of us still around today. And I think it should be prevalent in the church. Men, we need to be honoring the ladies. Can I get a better amen? All right. And so, I mean, and here's what we know. We need Let me ask you this question. What would it look like if really our lives really became a place of honor as the Bible asks us to have? What would your marriage look like if husbands honored wives and wives honored husbands? What would your home look like if children honored parents and parents are respecting their children as well and there's honor in the home? What would that look like? What would it look like? What would it sound like in the home if when the dad speaks, the kids say, yes, sir, and mom speaks and the kids say, yes, ma'am? And you might say, well, and I found out in my small group that we got a lot of people from up north, a lot of New Yorkers, a lot of people from up north. And some of you say, well, that's a southern thing, that yes, ma'am stuff. No, it's not a southern thing. It's a Christian thing, y'all. Okay. We need, and let's just take it another step. Let's take it somewhere else. Let's take it to our government officials. Step on my own toes here, all right? We need to be honoring our government officials as well. And it, just because you don't agree with them doesn't mean that you have to dishonor. There's a difference. You can be in disagreement, but there needs to be a thing of honor. I mean, when the flag is flown, listen to me, everybody, when the flag is flown, that flag represents our freedom, and that freedom cost men and women their lives who laid down their lives for our freedom. We need to honor the flag. Amen? I mean, when the national anthem is played at the ball game, instead of you standing there just spitting seeds and, you know, and whatever, I mean, come on, we need to be our hand over our heart and giving some honor. I believe we need a revival of honor. I'm going to show you in a few moments. It'll change your life. I believe it'll revolutionize your home. I believe it'll resurrect the church. I believe great things will happen. I'm going to show it to you in Scripture. I'm excited about this message. Can you tell? Malachi chapter 2. Let's move on. Malachi chapter 2, verse 1 says this. And now this admonition is for you, O priest. That's all of us. If you do not listen and if you do not set your heart to honor my name. Now let me just pause right there. Everybody say this word, set your heart. Set your heart. That means it's not out of obligation. It's not out of some duty or law. But it's the love of your heart. It's a delight. It's a delight. In fact, in the New Testament, there's two words that are used to get you to do something. And one is obedience. But another word is submission. And submission is really badly translated to us. But submission basically is saying it becomes the delight of your heart. Your heart is willing to do that. Your heart is ready to do that. Your heart has been changed, and it's now the delight of your heart. So what we're after this morning is not behavior modification, but what God is after is your heart, so that it's now a want to, and that we set our heart to honor. And so he says, if you do not set your heart to honor my name, says the Lord Almighty, he says, I will send a curse upon you. Now, let me just clarify right there. The curse is not saying, I'm going to curse you. It's actually saying, here's the thing. It's not about God punishing you if you don't. The fact is, we're already cursed if we don't. Jesus came to get us out of the curse that we are already in, that already exists, so that he can bestow upon us his blessing. So look what he says. I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessing. Yes, I have already cursed him because you have not set your heart to honor me. So let me define that word honor for just a moment. Two words, one in the Hebrew, one in the Greek. The word in the Hebrew is kaveh. Everybody say kaveh. You're now Hebrew scholars, okay? So Hebrew, kaveh. And then there's that word in Greek, and it's tamao. Tamao. Everybody say tamao. Tamao. And what this word means is it's a submitting and to and giving weight to. Here's how this is defined. Let me give this to you. There's there in your notes. And the word honor is what this means is to give value or worth or weight. And I put the word weight in there because I really want to emphasize this word weight. It's great meaning. This word honor, it has to do with weightiness. It's something being weighty. It's like this. If you're going down a road and there's a boulder, a big boulder in the road, and that thing's heavy and it's weighty, if you ignore that thing I mean, you got to acknowledge that thing. It's weighty. It's a value. You better acknowledge that thing and respect that thing. If you don't, you say, well, that's just a, I'm just going to bolt. You're going to be a grease spot on the highway. It's weighty. It's heavy. It means something. It brings value to your life. So honor is value, worth, and it has weight. But the opposite of that, dishonor, is to take lightly. And so that means to remove weight from it. So in other words, you're treating something as common or ordinary that should not be common or ordinary. We don't value it. We don't put weight on it. I think probably if we look around and we try to figure out what areas in our life that we do that to, one area that really pops out, and actually you see it a lot through Scripture, and that is honoring the poor, the poor. It's amazing how we treat somebody that we know they've got money and somebody that is poor, how we differentiate between those two. And we're to honor the poor. And Psalms and Proverbs speaks of it and speaks of that when you don't honor the poor, that God's going to remove our blessings, right? What, you know, how do we honor people when we're talking to people? How is it that we honor or dishonor people? And, you know, some of that shows up when how we when somebody's talking. You know, if somebody of great importance were talking, we'd stand there with undivided attention, give them undivided attention, and talk to them. But then, I mean, it's somebody that we dishonor. Yeah, I mean, here's what we do: we text while they're talking, right? we say, I'm going to answer this call. Hang on a minute. You know, I mean, dishonor. We do it all the time, right? So we need to think about how we honor, how we dishonor, you know, and make a difference. So, I mean, if we were called to say meet with somebody of great importance, how would we respond? If today you said you had a meeting with a governor, say you had a meeting with a governor at 8 a.m. in the morning, and you were going to meet him for breakfast, and you were going to discuss some things with him, and this is the governor of the state, no matter what party, he's the governor, what would you do? I mean, if it were me, I'd be showing up an hour early. Right, I would be making sure I knew where I was supposed to be and go through the right door and get to the right place and get through security check and make sure I was there, you know, ready, because I'm honoring his position of who he is. But do we do that with everyone? Do we do that in all the places of our life? I actually had somebody some years ago from this church that wanted some help, and he wanted some financial help, and he was really begging me for some help, and so I said, all right, well, I'll meet with you over at the McDonald's over here at University Place. We'll sit down and we'll meet, and we'll talk about it, see what I can do to help you. 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes passed, half hour passed, and finally he wanders in. And when he finally gets there and sits down, he says, well, I was caught up playing a game with my roommate, and I'm sorry I'm kind of late. I'm thinking, and you want me to help you? You want some money out of my pocket, but you don't even have you disrespect and dishonor, didn't even show up one time. How do we honor people? So I hope you're connecting with this and understanding we need to be honoring. So where is the honor? Look at Mark chapter 6 with me at this story. Jesus left there and went to his hometown. Jesus' hometown was Nazareth, and it says that he was accompanied by his disciples. Look at this. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Now, the amazement wasn't a good amazement. It was like a bad amazement. It was like, what does this guy think he's doing? Who does he think he is? He says, and they said, where did this man get these things? They asked. What's this wisdom that has been given him and that he even does miracles? Is this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. And Jesus said this to them, only in his own hometown, among his relatives, in his own house, is a prophet without honor. And he could not do any miracles there except lay hands on a few sick people. And so here was Jesus teaching. This is the Son of God. I mean, with God's teaching, that's pretty important, right? He was teaching, but rather than respecting him and rather than giving him honor, they lowered him to that which is common. And notice the results. It said that he couldn't do many miracles there. Interesting thing, if you read this in context, it goes on and tells a story after this that he went to another place where everybody acknowledged who he was, and guess what? He healed them all. So isn't it interesting that God can be limited by the attitude of the recipient? And yet the opposite is true. What if the recipient elevated things and put in position? It would put us in a position to receive more from God if we would elevate and if we would honor God. Would that not be true? And so I want to take this scripture, and if we outline this, it defines some things. And I want to unpack more of this next week, but I want to look at a couple things of what this really means for us. And that is that what we see in this scripture is the cause of this is that the familiar causes dishonor. The familiar causes dishonor. Jesus went to his hometown and said, well, that's just Jesus. That's just Jesus. You know, we've known Jesus all our life. He's just a kid down the street. And so familiarity causes dishonor. And if you really look at that root, the root of that word, I want you to look closely at it with me there. Look at what the root word of familiarity is. Family. Family. And oftentimes, that's the place where dishonor really happens. See, anything that we think that we're equal or close to, overly accustomed to, has the chance of receiving some dishonor. Oftentimes, in our homes, is the greatest place of dishonor. I'm helping you guys out here today. Right? I do too, brother. Husbands honoring wives and wives honoring husbands and parents honoring children and children honoring parents. I want to challenge the young people here to amaze your parents. The next time your parents call you, say, if your mom calls you, say, yes, ma'am, and come, and actually come. You see, there should be two things that happen when your parents call you. Number one is you respond, and number two, you move, right? I mean, if mom calls, I mean, if she calls and says, Tanner, he should say, I should say, I'm working on it too, y'all, okay? He should say, yes, ma'am, as he's moving, not in a minute. I'm on level 13. Come on, thank you, Tanner, for letting me use you. Okay. They're laughing because it fits in their home too. Okay, I'm just saying, all right. It's making my son feel a little better. He got company here. Honestly, it should be yes, ma'am, and move. And when they respond that way, when your kids, guess what? They're going to get the blessings of the Father. And if not, I'm going to curse. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm telling you, this matters. This matters. It matters everywhere we go. It matters in this house. Not only in your house, it matters in this house. Because people are watching. We'll cover that in a moment. But people are watching. They look at how you behave, how your demeanor is, how you respect, how you honor. I was actually telling the team this morning. I said, you know, can we encourage, I was actually talking to the production team, can we encourage, you know, everybody not to disappear during the announcement video and everybody go here and go there. And why is it that I'm thinking to myself, okay, when I was in school, how long was a class session? When I was in college, how long was a class session? I'm thinking, we're not that long. We'll try to be a little briefer today. I'm going to try, okay? But I'm just saying, we're here not that long, but I'm telling you, we're here 5 minutes and we have to run out, go to the bathroom, go to the restroom, disappear. I mean, why? Why is that? And I'm sorry, I'm just taking a moment to pastor. Love you. I grew up in a church where we did all that. I mean, we were running around like crazy. And I think a lot of that's because of familiarity. We're just so familiar with it. It don't matter. It just doesn't matter. What I'm saying is we talked just a couple weeks ago about culture. We need a culture where we do give value to this place. We give value to God. We give value. We give it excellence. And it matters because when we do that, listen, Jesus is able to come in and do the miraculous in that kind of environment. When we dishonor, he leaves. He can't do but a few things, and he leaves and he goes somewhere else where he is honored. Is this okay? Am I in trouble? I'm just saying. I remember growing up, and we always thought, how come the Baptists can keep them all in line? And, you know, I mean, you know. And then us in our church, we're like crazy, you know. And I think there's got to be a balance there. But I'm saying, folks, we need a revival of honor in His house. Come on. And parents, we set the tone. We set the tone by our example. Amen. So we're not just doing this to the kids. We're saying, okay, it's on me. I'm saying this is on me. All right? Okay. We all good? We all love each other. Praise God. Amen. So look at this. Familiarity causes dishonor. And a second thing we notice in this scripture is that offenses causes dishonor. Offenses. They were offended by Jesus. Who does he think he is? It says that they were offended by him. You can never, listen to this, you can never honor that offends you. If you're offended by government, I'm not saying you have to agree, but if you're offended by it, you treat it at a different place than God calls you to. Well, wait a minute, Pastor, you're going way over the mark now. Well, according to Romans chapter 13, all authority, everybody say all. I'm just reading the Bible. All authority under heaven is given by God. There's no asterisk, there's no disclaimer, there's no parentheses there. He says all. And so you can be disagreeable and respectable at the same time. So even as parents, and you say, Pastor, you don't know where I've come from. You don't know my parents. You don't know what situation I came out of. I understand what you're saying, but here's the thing. We still honor our parents. Then you get to a certain point when you're out on your own, you no longer have to obey them. You're not under their roof. You don't obey them. But with your children, you're under the roof. You're to obey. But this part where then you grow up and you're out on your own, guess what? Then you still honor them. And that covers us all. We're still supposed to hold people in a place of honor. My wife and I, we went on our honeymoon to Hawaii. Haven't been able to afford to go back since. But anyway, went to Hawaii, and we got over there, and we saw Don Ho. Anybody know who Don Ho is? Few people. Thank you for your comfort. So Don Ho, he was there, and he talked about how that they respect over there in Hawaii their elders. They revere them in all. They have this wealth of knowledge and experience, and we revere them. And he said, we don't do like a lot of them do in the mainland, he called it, where they just ditch them, put them aside, but we honor them and revere them. I'm telling you, we need to get back to a place of honor. It'll change our life when we do. So the question of the day is this: how do we set our hearts to honor? I'm going to give you some first steps of moving toward it, and then next week we'll talk about what it is that we honor. So what does it look like? First of all, number one, there in your notes, honoring begins with God's claim on them. Now hear this. It has nothing to do with what they deserve. All right? It doesn't matter whether it's Republican or Democrat or good parent or bad parent. It doesn't matter. It's not about your assessment of them. It's honoring is about how God views them. Are you hearing this? Honor begins with God's claim on them. So it's not about how you view them. It's about how God views them. It's God's perspective. It's how God sees them. So it begs the question, how does God view them? Listen to this. God sees everyone as people that He created and that He loves and that He died for. Right? I know we can get agitated with people and aggravated and upset and all that stuff, but at the end of the day, that's God's creation. It's God's creation. I know about you, but sometimes for me, I'm a different person when I get inside the car. Right? I mean, when you're in a car, that's not a person over there. That's just a car, right? You're yelling at, right? You just diminish it down. Right? They're just a car. In fact, my kids have observed that I kind of drive like I do sports. Like, when I'm watching sports, I'm yelling, get over there, get the ball, get the, what are you? And so they've noticed that I kind of drive in the same manner. You know. And when somebody does, I'm not like that all the way. I don't make you too nervous. But at times, there's moments, y'all have moments. There's times when you're trying to get in, you know, and nobody will let you in. Right? And they won't look at you. You ever notice that? They will not look, because if they look at you, you're a person, you know. You're not just a car. And so, you're driving, there's, and it won't look at you. But if they look at you, you know, then you give them the, can I, you know, that puppy dog look, can I, and you go, you know, then they got to acknowledge you. Then they got to let you in. There's times, though, that I have said things. Confession is good for the soul, bad for the reputation, okay? There's times where I have said things I shouldn't say. Come on. Sometimes you say, you jerk. But if you stop and listen real closely, you might hear God saying, that's my jerk. Come on. You know, you idiot. What's wrong with you? Hey, that's God's. So here's the thing. We would be saying that we're calling, would we call God a jerk? But in essence, I'm going to show you in a moment, in essence, that's what we're doing. Because Jesus said, as you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. And so what we need to do is change our view. It's God's creation. That's God's daughter. That's God's son. Whether they're saved or lost, they're God's creation, God's children, lost or saved children. They're lost. Listen, we need to change our view from our assessment to God's claim on them, and that changes everything. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 says this, submit. Again, that word submission, inside that word is I have a delight to. My heart wants to do this. I desire to do this. So submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So we need to treat people based on not my view of them, but my view of him. Treat people because of your view of him, not necessarily your view of them. And so that's how, so we honor God in everything we do. We honor our church. We honor our family. We honor our church by serving. That's why we had that dream team this morning. They're early, just there, just giving place of honor to God, saying, God, we're here to serve you. We're here to serve you. We're honoring you. We're worshiping you today. And this is that. We have a serve day that's coming up in July. And that's a day where we're going to honor people. We're going to give honor people, people in need, the widows and the poor and those that are in need. We're going to honor them. We're going to give honor. But listen, that's not something we should just do on serve day. It's not just something we should do. And we're doing everything we know to try to give you the tools to do this. We're giving you acts of kindness cards and all that. But it's not just a one splash in the pan day. This is something we need to be doing every day in honoring people. Amen? And so we honor people. And so think about it. Think about it. Jesus said, when you've done it unto me, you've done it unto them, you've done it unto me, right? How we treat people, that's really how we're treating God. So listen, honor begins with God's claim on them. Number two, honoring benefits me too. Now really, I don't always like to talk about this as a motivation because I think we should do things whether there's a benefit in it for us at all, but the Bible talks about this. And says there is a benefit in this. It's a motivation. And the Bible speaks to us about this. In Mark chapter 6, when Jesus went to Nazareth, he could not do many miracles there. In the next place, again, great honor, and he healed them all. There is a benefit that happens to us when we honor God. There's blessings that come. It opens up. It allows God to move into our life when we honor him and we acknowledge him, right? I heard of somebody going out to the Dream Center. Anybody know where the Dream Center is in L.A.? And I guess it was Pastor Mark Barnett that really trained his church this way. But when the speaker got there, he said everybody was sitting on the edge of their seat taking notes, just amening everything. The speaker said they were amening things that didn't even deserve to be amened. You know, it's like, great to see y'all today. Oh, that's good. Oh, praise God. Let me write that down. That's good. I mean, you know, I mean, just a culture of honor. And I want to tell you, we need to have a culture of honor where we honor people. And what I understand that in this incredible atmosphere, in this atmosphere of culture, on that day there was over 200 saved. Why? Because of honor. When you honor something, you can benefit from it. And when you dishonor something, listen to this, you cannot receive from it. our attitude towards the message or any speaker or a song or anything we do is connected to whether we can receive from that or not. I heard of a guy who went to a conference to speak, and actually, he was at this conference. It was a big name speaker that was there also speaking, and he said that when this big name guy, you would know him, but when he stepped on the platform, hadn't even said a word. The place was going crazy. He just walked up there. Whoa, praise, thank Jesus. Oh, praise God. I mean, he just walked up there. And then he said, "This is the day that the Lord has made." And the place went crazy, went nuts over that. And this guy was saying, "You know, I say that at my church and I don't get that kind of response. I get the same thing." Where's the honor? What we give to, though, it makes a difference in how we honor people. It makes a difference. So when this happened, I've heard of another guy who went to a Christian university, and he said there was a lot of big-name speakers that came in there. And he was advised. He said, "Now, when you speak," he said, don't get discouraged, because the students may not respond to you because we have a lot of big-name speakers on this platform. And he said, "So don't just keep on preaching. Don't take it personal." And he was right. He said that students were in there doing homework. They were texting. They were talking to each other. They were just laid back, whatever. It doesn't matter, blah, blah, blah. He said, and guess what? There wasn't very much received that day. Why? Because of their attitude towards the speaker. He said, "Well, if it was a better speaker," that doesn't matter. You give value based on God's view of them. In fact, I heard of another guy who was at a Bible college, and there was a guest speaker coming in who was a missionary, and he was not that great of a speaker, but really he was a modern day apostle. He had done a great work in Latin America. He had affected hundreds of thousands of people. Signs and wonders were following his ministry, but he was just not that great of a speaker. And this student that was there at that Bible college, who's now a pastor today, he said that he turned to his youth pastor and he found out that this guy was going to be speaking, and he said, "He's speaking tonight." And his youth pastor gave him the worst chewing out and came down on him that he'd ever had in his life and rebuked him. And he explained what this person goes through to communicate the gospel, the death threats that he now that he lives with every day, how the life he lives, the price that he pays every day. And he said from that day forward, it changed his life and it changed his ministry. That rebuke he got, saying, "No, you're not going to disrespect." Can I tell you, we need to be a church that respects and gives honor. We want to be a church that doesn't demean other denominations. I despise people. I've actually had people come and I've cringed and made sure they didn't come back again, come in this place and demean other denominations. It's not going to happen. If I hear about it happening before they get here, they're not going to be standing here. We're not going to put down other denominations. We're not going to put down other preachers. We're not going to demean. We're going to give honor. Amen, everybody? We're going to give honor, and we're going to have a revival in this place. You see, because listen, I want Crosspoint to experience some miracles in this place. I want us to be revived and experience some miracles. When there's dishonor, guess what? Jesus doesn't show up. He leaves and it doesn't do much. Goes and finds another place that brings honor. I've heard this from John Bevere, who went over with Reinhard Bonnke to the mission field of Africa, of the honor that they gave and the miracles they see. And they say the key is honor. If you look throughout Scripture, wherever you see honor, there's always a reward attached. Look it up. Study it. Old Testament, New Testament. There's always a reward attached. And when there's dishonor, it doesn't matter. It's just commonplace. It's just family. I need something better. Let me tell you something. When you get to that better place will become bitter after a while. Are you following me? Because here's what happens. I've seen it. I've seen it over and over and over again. People, they come to a place, and you're the best thing since sliced bread. But after a while, you get stale. You know, after a while, you're stale. And then you go find another one that's the best thing since sliced bread, and guess what? That same pattern occurs. They're now stale bread, and you're ready to find more fresh bread. And some people will live a lifestyle like that. And I'm trying to pastor you and help you this morning. Because here's the thing, it's not with that person, it's not with that preacher, it's not with that ministry, it's not with that church, it's not with that place, it's not with that job, it's not with your wife, it's not with your husband, it's not about your children, it's not about that. It's about you making a decision that I'm going to give honor. Amen? It's about what's within you, it's not out there. And so the more you value it, the more you benefit from it. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Honor your father and mother. Now, this is Paul bringing an Old Testament law under the New Covenant and saying, this is still applicable. It's old law, but it's still what you need to follow. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Paul is validating the Old Testament law and saying, because of this, it'll help you to enjoy life. Folks, this isn't about behavior modification. This is about, we're praying that through God's word, that we understand the importance of this and that we will have a submissive heart, allow the Holy Spirit to come in our heart and revive us and understand where what things are important, right? And that we'll make a change from within. 1 Peter, look at this. 1 Peter says this, submit. That means do it out of delight, not a chore, but it's now I get to do this. Submit yourselves. This is what I want to do. I submit myself. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king or as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong, give you a ticket if you're speeding, you know, or to commend those who do right. For it is God's will. How many wants to be in God's will? It is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorance talk of foolish men. What does that mean? It means the world is watching, right? And so when we're tweeting, when we're blogging, all that stuff, I would just want to say, stop it. Just stop it. Stop all the foolishness. And he says, do this. Live as free men. Well, I'm not under the law anymore. I can do what I want to do. Well, that's true. But don't use your freedom to do a bunch of crazy stuff. He says, don't use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect. That same word respect there is the word tamao, which means honor. It's interchangeable. To everyone, love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king. We want to live this way out of delight, not of duty. Would you just bow with me for just a moment? I don't know how good of a job I did delivering that message today, but I hope that you'll allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your hearts. Because I really believe this is a message for our church. We need to honor. We need to honor. Nobody's on their high horse demanding respect around here and that kind of thing. That's not what I'm talking about. But something has to happen on the inside, because if we're not careful, we begin to devalue everything and life just becomes a lot less valuable. It's a throwaway. God never intended it to be that way. God wants to understand what the true meaning of life is and the value of life and the value of our salvation, the value of our relationship with Him. And what honoring does, it really turns you to a place of really acknowledging Him. The Bible says if we acknowledge Him, He's going to direct our paths. If we acknowledge Him, He's able to bestow upon us His blessings. If we acknowledge Him, there's going to be a path of peace that we're going to travel. So I want to pray with you this morning about this issue of honoring. But it may be that some of you don't know how to honor others because you don't honor yourself. And I just want to encourage you today. It may be that some of you are living a life of shame and guilt. Before you can honor somebody else, you've got to honor your own self. And how does that happen? It's only through Jesus. Today, God wants to set you free. We're not talking about joining a church. We're just talking about getting free. God wants to set you free and cleanse you. Cleanse your mind. Cleanse your thought life. Cleanse your heart. And that happens through Jesus. Through Jesus. And for the last little thing here on this message notes, it says, what is the Holy Spirit saying to me? And I want to ask you to just take a moment right now just to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? This is your word. I don't devalue it. I honor your word. What are you saying to me, Holy Spirit? What area in my life needs honor? Where am I dishonoring? This is for all of us. All of us are guilty. Places of dishonoring in our life. But today, you know that before you can do anything else, you need self-respect that you've lost because of your lost condition or your choices that are wrong. I want to help you with that. I want to pray a prayer. If that's you, you need to have that place, that relationship restored. If that's you, and you want to be a part of that prayer, would you just right now, would you just lift up your hand? I'm not going to have you come to the front or stand up. I'm not going to embarrass you. But if that's you, you say, Pastor, I need prayer in this area. Would you pray for me? God bless you today. Anyone else? God bless you today. Yes. Anyone else? Right where you're seated, let me just lead you in this prayer. Just simply from your heart, just say this. Lord Jesus, today, I submit. I surrender. Forgive me for displeasing you. Forgive me of my shortcomings. Forgive me of my sins. I accept you into my life. Come inside of me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins and setting me free from everything that displeases you. By faith, I accept your forgiveness. By faith, I accept your love. Live inside of me. I give you my life. And God, make me a vessel of honor. Make me a vessel of honor fit for the Master's use. In Jesus' name.